here's Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Well, it's delightful to see so many people, especially around the holiday season. And I'm absolutely always honored that you people show up. That's an absolute honor to me that you're here. So thank you very much. As usual, I have good news for you. At this time of year, it's a fabulous time of year for many reasons. We're getting ready for a new year. We're about ready to end this year. And we also are celebrating the holidays. And if you don't get all caught up in these holidays by going to the malls and buying and doing all the kinds of crazy things that people do at this time of year, you can set this time of year aside to give yourselves a gift. Because this is a wonderful time of year to realize, anyway, all the power that you have, to realize what is really inside of you, to finally come to the conclusion that you are connected to this universe, that you can manifest what we call a Christ consciousness. A Christ consciousness, yes, they call it a Christ consciousness.
Because you did, you said you
could. Jesus Christ. But we know that that wasn't his last name. A Christ consciousness merely means a higher form of consciousness. It means a better way of thinking. And that's what this whole teaching is about, to teach people to think differently and to think differently about yourselves and everybody else and the world. And this is a perfect time of year to be able to do that because there are so many people out there right now who have turned their consciousness to giving and to love. So you can combine with that and you can make your mind up that you are going to do it this season and not wait another year to do it or not take one more class and then you're going to make up your mind to raise your consciousness. Raising your consciousness merely means to make that decision. To know that you're able to do that. That this man that we call Jesus Christ was not the only person who ever had a Christ consciousness. I know a lot of people would like to tell you that he was an exception. I am telling you he wasn't an exception. If he can do it, we can do it. We can all do it. And that's what it's all about, is learning. To give up all those worldly things out there, which I call race mind, which are driving most people crazy, by the way, give those ideas up and start to accept new ideas, especially about yourselves. Know how much you are loved. Just know that. Have that as a given. This thing that we call God loves us all so much that it's way beyond our understanding. So know that you are loved, that you are connected to this universe, and start raising your consciousness. Start seeing that in your everyday life and in your all your activities that you do. Know that you're connected with something that's bigger than you are, but you are part of that bigness. And then you won't have next year the excuse that you didn't do it again. You know, we are always waiting till we get older, till we know more, till we do this, till we do that. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. You can make up your mind to do this right here and right now without waiting one more year and thinking about it and then deciding, well, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. Why don't you make up your mind that it does work and just start using it all the time and find out that, yes, if you use it, it works all the time. This whole idea of being one with the power that made us, that the creation and the creator are one and the same, is not a new idea. We call it new thought, but it's been around 2,000, maybe 2,500 years. And people are always waiting for something else to happen. or for all the world all at once, to just become spiritual, just become nice. Well, it happens one person at a time. It happens one consciousness at a time. So if you start changing your consciousness, people around you will start changing theirs. We have to give people an idea that there's something better out there, that there's something different out there. Otherwise, we just keep repeating the same year over and over again. And we just keep repeating our lives over. And we keep hoping for something to happen instead of making something happen. We're the ones who have to do that. And you can do that just by making up your mind and stop listening to all that horrible trash that's going on out there in the world. None of that has anything to do with you whatsoever. It's going to continue to go on. It may go on in a lesser degree, but we're always going to have the poor consciousness among us. And that does not mean poor money. Of course they have no money because they're poor in consciousness. It also means all the idea that people think of lack and limitation all the time, or this can't be done, or that can't be done, or we're always going to have wars, or people are always going to be this way, or we're always going to have some sickness we're battling, and so forth. We do not have to have these things. These are done in our mind, and they're done in what's called race mind. And we just keep repeating them, thinking that that's the way the world is. And it's not the way the world is. We make the world. Our thinking makes this world. And you can make any world you want by changing your thinking. But we are so conditioned by the world itself, by the news, by the radio, television, newspapers, that we believe what they are telling us. We also believe by looking at our families and so forth. Well, this is the way I was raised. This is what I was taught. All that is all well and good. But now it's time for you to say, is it working for me? Do I want to continue this way? If your life is not working, it's because you're not working this working. Word structs teaching. If you work this teaching, your life has to change. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about that. And it's very nice for all of us to come, and as I said, I'm absolutely honored and delighted that people show up to hear me babble. I think it's fantastic, because I happen to like to babble. But just to keep coming and being entertained for an hour and not taking this with you and not starting to live this is not doing you any good. It's not doing you any good. You have to live this. And you have to live it daily. And that's the what you can do at this time of year. You can make up your mind. The whole story of Christmas, the Christian story of Christmas, that Christ was born on Christmas Day. And you can say that to yourself. But instead of saying Christ is born on Christmas Day, know that a Christ consciousness was born in you at this time of year. That's what the whole nativity story is about. Away in the manger, no crib for a bed. Away in the manger means deep inside of your own consciousness. Deep inside of your own consciousness, there is a manger. And deep inside of your consciousness is born a Christ consciousness, the baby. And then that baby grows. But it's all done inside of you, and it's all done inside of your consciousness. All those stories metaphysically mean something. A star rose in the east. A star rose in the east means a great idea has come upon us. Three wise men saw it. What are the three wise men? What do they represent? They represent wisdom, knowledge, all that. There's always a representation of everything that goes on. So in your own mind, know that you have that manger inside of you. And that Christ consciousness can be born in you. And especially at this time of year. It can be born at any time of the year. Like, well, time of the year to do it, because there are more consciousnesses thinking of it. And that's what makes it powerful. It makes it very powerful. I don't know how many people get up early in the morning. I happen to like to get up early in the morning. Because if I get up early enough, Ray's mind has not taken over yet. And there's a silence that you can hear. And as the day progresses, as the morning progresses, you can start to hear all the chatter from Ray's mind. So if you ever want to do mental work, do it either very late at night or do it very early in the morning. It has a much better chance of doing things because the chatter has slowed down at those hours. You can always tell that. You can always tell when it's Sunday. You can always tell when it's Sunday because there's a different atmosphere going on, a different thought atmosphere going on this Sunday. And around 5 o'clock on Sunday night, you can tell it's starting. And the race mind starts up again. So use this time of year to do that. And do that for yourself. And that's the great news. That's the good news, that you can do it. You know, no one can do it for you. I can't do it for you. A church cannot do it for you. And God cannot do it for you. You have to do it yourself. And you do it by making up your mind to do it. And by saying, I'm going to believe this. And then you start to believe it. And as soon as you start to believe it, more and more comes to you. More and more is added to you all the time. But don't wait another year to think that you're going to do it, or eventually it's going to happen to you. It's going to strike you like a lightning bolt. I seriously doubt that. You have to work on this, and you have to make up your mind that you want this to happen. And sometimes it may be a little scary to you because you think, well, if I give my old way of living and my old way of thinking up, what's going to happen? Something marvelous is going to happen. Something marvelous is going to happen to you. You know, that's what it's all about, is changing and changing your mind. And bringing into your life the wonderful things that you want. Give yourself permission this coming year, in this holiday season, to have what you want. I give myself permission to have what I want. And you'll start to have that. You see, we postpone our own good by saying we're not ready for it, by saying we don't know enough, by saying we're not worthy enough, we're not deserving enough, and we're not lovable enough. We are the ones who postpone that. Don't postpone anything in your life. Accept all those things and give yourself permission to have them. And if you're waiting for yourself to become absolutely perfect, forget it. You know, you're not going to become absolutely perfect. You're just not going to. You may near that perfection, like I, but you're not going to do it. Don't worry about those things. Look at this, and look at Jesus. He got angry, he did all kinds of things, but he kept right on going. And I bet 10 to 1 when he got angry, he knew he got angry, but he didn't run around the rest of the day worrying about it and punishing himself for it. He forgave himself right away and said, whoops, I got angry. And forgive yourself. And then don't do it again. The whole idea is, go and sin no more. That means go and don't make that mistake again. That's all that means. That is all that means. Just go and don't make the same mistake over and over and over again. So use this time of year. This is a wonderful time of year to do it. There's all kinds of religious music on the radio, there's all kinds of churches open and doing things. There's wonderful opportunities to stretch your consciousness and to allow that Christ consciousness to be born in your being this holiday season. So do it. Okay? And that's the good news. Does anyone have any race mind alerts? Does anyone seen any out there? No? All right. That's good. Maybe there are none. Wouldn't that be nice? All right. With that said, I'll start as I always do with a spiritual mind treatment. I will do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I absolutely know. I know that I can achieve anything that I wish to achieve. That I have the power, not only within me, I have it outside of me. And I am one with that power. And I use that power. I use that power daily so that I can have what I want in this life, a peaceful life. And it makes me feel so good to know that I am always supported, always protected, and that there is a power that wants to give me everything, and that I can open myself and accept that. And I do it right here and right now. I accept all the abundance and the prosperity and money that I can envision having, that I can stretch my consciousness around. And I let that be so, and so it is.
Dennis, I do have a race mind.
Oh, good.
Somebody said to me today, I was having lunch with somebody, and she said, well, I guess it's just, you know, when you get older, it's normal to start gaining a few pounds. I said, well, not for me. And so that's the health thing that you talk about.
Yes.
The age thing.
Yes. And people think that all the time. And that's in the race mind, that as you get older, you have to gain weight. You do not have to gain weight. How many people who think if they stop smoking, they're going to gain weight? I stopped smoking. I smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day, and I stopped, and I never gained a pound. How did I do that? I made up my mind to do it, and I also told my body, you're not going to gain any weight. You just don't have to. We gain weight. We keep doing those things because race mind tells you. Also, everyone wants you to stop smoking, and they tell you it's the most difficult thing in the world to do, and that you need all kinds of help, and you need the patch, and you need this, and it's this addiction and that addiction, and it cannot be done, and nicotine is horrible, da 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 do. I have a little thing that I used to do when I stopped smoking, and it was this. Tobacco is a filthy weed. The devil grew it with his seed. It stains your fingers, burns your clothes, and makes a chimney of your nose. Isn't it true?
Very true.
Very true.
So you have to laugh at the whole thing, and you have to say, this has no power over me whatsoever. You see, there's no power outside of you. Something cannot have power over you.
Even say if you're going to a job interview or something, and then you go, and then what if they say, what if they don't choose you or something? Is that you too? Is that me creating that in them?
Is that you? Well, you're not going to go out and get every job that you want. But you have to know that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. And that you learn something from that interview. When those people like you so much, they're going to recommend you to somebody else. And you let that go immediately. But you never say, oh, they didn't like me. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. That's beating yourself up. What you can say is, they weren't very wise, were they? They didn't pick me. But you never put the blame on you. You never put the blame on you.
I'm having a hard time accepting the fact that I'm partially responsible for, like, an accident that I couldn't avoid.
Well, that is a difficult one, isn't it?
And I'm trying to find my partner.
Your part?
My part in it. I'm trying to find my partner right, so that I could grow and let it go.
Oh.
But I'm having a hard time.
Don't try that. That's a race mind thing, trying to find, well, what happened and why it happened.
No, I'm trying to find metaphysically my apartment. How did I cause it?
But you may never be able to find that out metaphysically, my dear. All you have to know metaphysically is there's no such thing as chance or accident. And if an accident happens, you have to know that what caused this accident was not what appeared to cause the accident. It has to be something else that caused it. But you may not be able to find that cause because it gets mingled with other causes. But I will tell you, on this plane of action, If you have an accident, there has to be a cause to that accident somewhere else, because on this plane of accident, the only thing you ever see are effects. You will never see a cause on this plane. Causes do not occur on this plane. Everything here on this plane of action is an effect. But people want to take two effects and make a cause or something out of it. You cannot do that. You can release all that very easily by not worrying about it and saying, well, an accident happened. I don't know why it happened, but what I do know, it's not going to happen again. And that I release from my consciousness anything that could have caused this. And I take full responsibility for that. But I love it, bless it, and release it right here and right now. And you don't take that. You see, we are the cause unto our experience. We're always the cause unto our own experience, always. But we don't have to take the blame and so forth with it. We have to realize, oh, look what I've done. Oh, sorry, won't do that again.
That's my problem, though. I'm having a problem finding about, look what I've done. Because I feel like, look what did me. I feel like so confused about it all.
Oh, because you want it to be somebody else's fault.
No,
here.
But in the race mind, it's already been established as somebody else's fault.
Oh, absolutely. It's always going to be.
I don't care about that. Because I don't understand. Like, I felt like I didn't have an accident consciousness. I never even dawned on me.
Yeah.
But somehow it came to me, and I'm trying to.
Yes. Were you around people talking about accidents? Were you around other people? Did you walk into a thought atmosphere that you shouldn't have walked into?
I don't know. I don't feel
like
I did.
See, you may never know that stuff. But you just forget about it. You're not hurt. Is anybody else hurt?
Not that I know of.
Is it really bad, the accident?
No.
Look at all the blessings you have.
Yeah.
So you always have to look at the blessings. But you're in a state. I can see it. I can feel it, in fact. Why are you in this state?
Because I can't make sense of it.
Oh, well, don't ever try to make sense of things. That's crazy making. Why would you want to make sense of it? Because your ego mind says you have to make sense of it.
Because I don't want it to happen again.
It's not going to happen again. All you have to do is say, this will never happen to me again. I don't know why it happened, and I don't care why it happened. What I care about is that it's never going to happen again. I've learned everything that I can from this situation, and now I am loving, blessing, and releasing this situation so that it never comes into my life again. And then you sit down and you start to love yourself, because you're not loving yourself. You're so off center, it's awful. So you have to love yourself back to center. And you love yourself back to center by letting that little ego mind alone. It doesn't matter. In the long run, it doesn't matter, my dear. You're not hurt. So you look at the blessings and you just release that. You just release that.
You know.
And I may have gone through the same thing if I was in an accident. The only reason with me what happens is I can get over things faster. But then I've trained myself to do that. But you want to hang on to it. And what good is it? What good is it serving you to hang on to it?
I feel like it's hanging on to me, but I know what you mean.
Yes. See, it's not doing you a bit of good.
I feel like I'm trying to brush it off.
Yeah, well, don't try. Just do. You know. And don't put all that effort into it. That's why it's sticking around. You know, just say, huh? Love it, bless it, and release it, saying, well, this is never going to happen again. And thank God it happened now. But metaphysically, there's no such thing as chance or accident. It's one of the most difficult parts of metaphysics for people to understand. And then if something does happen to them, they want to take all the blame by saying, I caused this. Don't do that to yourself. You see, being responsible is different than taking blame for something. Say, oh, I was responsible for that. And I'm spiritually mature enough to understand that I do not have to take blame. I do not have to feel guilty about it whatsoever. It happened, and it's over and done with. Does that help?
Yeah.
Take responsibility, don't take blame. No. No one blames you.
So I feel like I'm taking blind responsibility, though.
Pardon?
I feel like the response, I still don't understand how I'm responsible, but I know I am. That's my problem.
You don't have to know.
I don't have to know how, I just have to know that I am.
Yes.
Love it, buddy.
You see, that's the whole idea about if you went to a psychiatrist, you could go around for 20 years trying to find out why something happened, and you'll never know exactly why something happened in your life, or why you are the way you are, because it gets so mingled up with everything else that you cannot, it would take lifetime after lifetime after lifetime to unravel the whole thing. Just say, this is what happened, and I'm over it. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels. Okay? And be thankful that you're not hurt.
Remember last week, we talked, and I'd had a flat tire. So the same thing. I said to you, well, I know we don't have lessons. However, how I looked at the flat tire, first the blessings, I didn't have it on the freeway. And I had it just as I was crossing the street and got to the parking structure. So I was able to get in and park, go to my class, and then I dealt with it. And I looked at it as sometimes things like that come about so that I have an opportunity to either go to my old ways of reacting or practice this practice and just responding.
Well, it's interesting that you said that because a month before the accident, I had a flat tire. But I had a thought in my mind because I was doing the play and I said, God, what if I got a flat tire and I couldn't make it to the show?
Whoa!
So I get home from the show, after the show, park my car, and I hear a and I thought that was a blessing because I did the show. I knew that flat tire was coming, but it came at a different time. But this one, I just threw me for a loop.
Get through
with that.
Were you loving yourself the whole time?
I had just finished reading a book by Marianne Williamson called Change, and it was a real nice book, and I was feeling more in touch than anything, and I had just come back from the most exhilarating acting class I'd ever been on, and literally I was talking to my friend, and right before I got in the accident, I just finished telling him I love life.
Yes. Yes.
And then the accident happened.
Yes, because you went too high.
I went too high.
Is there a place too high?
You went too high and you couldn't accept that because somewhere in your mind it told you everything is working out so well, everything is going along so good, and you fell right into race mind. Well,
The other shoe dropped.
Yep.
All in a second?
Oh, no, my okay. God. Yeah. Look how fast you won the flat tire.
Yeah. And she created that. How powerful.
Yeah, so you see how powerful you are? Now, that is exactly when I said to her, did you get into a thought atmosphere of some sort? When we talk about race mind, that is what you have to weed out from your consciousness, weed out every other thing from your mind. Well, what goes on in race consciousness is always, I'm doing too well, the other shoe will drop, you can't go that high, you can't have that much or something is going to happen. Now, that could have been just a fleeting thought.
In the subconscious.
In the fleeting, absolutely. Like that, but it was still in there, it wasn't rooted out. So it always has to prove itself to you. And it proved itself to you.
Except for the same energy you're using to hang on to it, use that
figure it out.
This is that exact same energy.
You can't analyze it.
So just know now.
But then I felt like, okay, I've been studying metaphysics, and then I felt like maybe I don't know metaphysics at all.
Yeah, well, you certainly do. I think you're very powerful. Who thinks she's not powerful? Who sees metaphysics here?
Oh, yeah. She's waking up.
She's waking up.
It's a great lesson in it, too, in the fact that, like, you know, you almost start to hear like, oh, well, I can't be that happy or that high. And that's not it. It's like, yeah, practice being that happy and that high, and like know that you're worthy and deserving and lovable while you do that. And that, you know, it's just such a great lesson. I mean, just even hearing it's a great lesson.
Mm-hmm. And an opportunity to grow.
But the week before, I wasn't loving myself.
Delayed reaction.
We have hands in the back. Carol's hand was up before yours, then you.
You could look at it also that, okay, I got this accident happened to me, and maybe if I had if I could fly up in the air and see the bigger perspective, maybe this accident was the biggest gift because it saved me from something horribly disastrous that we don't know. Sometimes I try to tell myself that when I get really mad at traffic, mm-hmm. and I think, gosh, you know, maybe if I was going sooner and further along, you'll see someone get in a horrible pile up and be like, phew, how lucky I am that I was delayed. That kind of thing also could happen. And a long time ago, I was talking to someone, and they said the most intriguing thing, that we never know, and I guess this could be good or bad, and that's why I'm in this class. I'm not that smart, obviously, but I'm getting there.
Stop. Right now, stop. Take that back.
Okay.
You are very intelligent. Now tell yourself that.
I'm very intelligent.
Yes. You see, that was a horrible thing that came out of your mouth.
Self. I was doing so well. So this concept is, what if life was like you were, you know, you, and you had this stick in front of you at your, the point was at your stomach, and it was 100 feet in front of you. And the movement here is almost imperceptible, but the arc of it is so wide and far reaching. We don't know what that's really about. Maybe the timing of your life, just because of that, put you in a better sink. I don't know, something like that. You never know.
Could it have been the other person?
No.
Her lesson? Both of our lessons.
See, you're trying to blame on someone.
No, I'm trying
to understand it.
Why don't you just know that you're always divinely guided and let it go at that?
So it's not necessarily a lesson. It could be
an opportunity.
A moment to just keep you on your path, your right path. Not necessarily a lesson.
Why judge yourself by the effects that appear in front of you when you can align yourself with true cause? Now, I don't know if that made any sense.
No, not yet. I have to hear it again.
Well, what Dallas just said not too long ago was everything that we see is effect.
Yeah.
So if you align yourself with cause, create from in here, from in here, from here. Then the accident was not an accident at all, and it's not something for you to worry about. Do you like worry?
No, I don't like it. Do I worry? Yes.
Do you? Yes. Why do you keep doing it? Now, this is not a why as, oh, let's shame you. But it's a why. This points to, why not try something else? And that's what Dallas is offering. I'm going to withdraw myself.
Wonderful. So know that you're always divine and guided. And go to first cause. And first cause is always God. And you'll find that. So just go back to center. You are all center, which means you are not loving yourself. You can see that with your face. Your face is always beautiful. Tonight your face is not beautiful. The energy that's coming from you is not pleasant. And it's because you're off center. So sit there a moment and love yourself. and know how loved you are. Feel the love from everyone in this room and take that in and love yourself. Now you're starting to...
Dallas.
Just close your eyes. Yes, I think we have one in the back. She's...
Yes, I'd like to take this opportunity. My Mr. Pudson, he's my little angel cat, my little orange and white cat, and he got out the other day, and I never let my cats out, and I'm not placing blame, but I'd like everybody to use their imagination tonight and fill us set traps and imagine my little angel coming home.
Oh, let's not only see that, let's know that that's already happened.
Because I love him.
And here you can use Race Mind to help you with this because cats always find their way home. You can ask any cat person. Cats always find their way home.
11 months later.
So, 11 months, but they always find their way home. So remember that and see your cat at home.
And we'll, everybody, if we could do it.
We will visualize that, but we will know that it's already done.
I was going to say for Stephanie, the fact that you are coming here, this could have been an opportunity for you to say what you said, for you to hear everyone's input, and all of this will, you know, filter itself through your consciousness during the next weeks to prepare you for the thing you said just before the accident, which was, my life is perfect. So it could have a very positive spin on it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now you're looking better.
Oh, yeah. You look much better.
We're going to show you the love.
What's the old adage about, like, when a bone breaks and it heals, it's stronger than it was before?
Just love yourself and know that you are divinely guided. And when these accidents and stuff happen, don't drive yourself crazy over it. Just forgive yourself immediately and go on and say, I've learned all I can from this. And I'm not going to learn any more. That's all you have to do with those things. If you don't learn anything, you're going to have one accident after the other. So you decide to give that idea up. But that's what Race Mind, and she, I'm sure that's what happened. That's still in there somewhere. Things are going too well. And then the shoe drops, and that happens. Okay. You're all right? Okay. Tonight's topic is who's running the show? How many people here years ago read the first Wayne Dyer book that ever came out, Your Erroneous Zone? If you haven't read that, it's a wonderful book to reread. It's very elementary after you've read tons of books. But it's always good to go back again and look at that because he will tell you who's running the show. When we say that, who's running the show, you're always running the show. You're running your own show. You're running your own life. And you're doing that with what you're thinking. And you have to be what's called the switchboard of your own mind. You have to be the one that's pulling all the levers and strings and everything. If for one moment you think that anything outside of you is doing it or anyone else is doing it, then you are not living your own life. You're allowing somebody else to do that for you. And that's what the world always wants to do. The world wants to run your life for you. It wants to tell you when to do everything and what to buy and what to eat and what to wear and all that. You're the one who has to decide, do I want to buy into this? Don't I want to buy into this? And you have to be able to withdraw from yourself so that you are able to see, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? We all are here. We know that we are not our minds. Our minds are ours to use, but we are not our minds. We are not our thoughts. We are not our feelings. We are not our bodies. After a while, you begin to think, well, who am I? What am I? You're more than any of those things. And that's what you have to realize, that you're always more than anything that's going on. You are more than those things. But you're the one that's controlling all of that. So if you can visualize your mind and you're sitting there at a switchboard and you're the one that's pressing all the buttons to do everything, it makes life so much easier once you realize, oh my goodness, I'm doing this. And then you do everything. And it, after you're able to do that, your life straightens out in a completely different way, because now the only person you ever have to be responsible for is your own self and your own thinking. When you achieve that, then the people around you start to take responsibility for their own selves. And you don't go through all that stuff that the rest of the world, oh, I have to do this for this one, I have to do that, whatever they're out there doing. When you are able to see what you're thinking and put your mind out in front of you on a screen and let those thoughts go. I've taught this years ago, and I haven't brought it up recently. Do you remember the whole idea? Before you open your mouth, count to two. No one knows you do that. If somebody asks you something, you go 1, 2, very quickly. They don't know you're pausing. That gives you a chance to respond instead of to react. It gives you a chance to do something with your own thinking, with your own mind. If not, if you just react to everything, you're not here to react. You're here to respond to things. And it's much different when you're responding than when you're just reacting to things. But it requires a little bit of vigilance. You have to hear what you're saying. And you have to catch your thoughts and be able to change them. As soon as you have a thought that you know does not feel right, that isn't right, you grab that thought. You just grab it. And you change it in that moment. And you'll become very good at that. And what are some of the thoughts that people have? How many people here still have thoughts of lack and limitation? Yes. You see, that lack of limitation is a race mind thing. This whole class is called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. We teach prosperity, we teach abundance, and we teach money. So there's no place here for lack or limitation. The world teaches lack and limitation. It tells you that there isn't enough. There is always enough. There is always enough. So think about that. And when you have a lack or limitation, I can't have that, I can't do that, oh, this, that, or the other thing, change it. Change that thought. There is always enough. This planet produces more food than anyone can eat. But yet, people are starving to death. But it's not because they don't live in an abundant place. The planet can support it. We just have people with a consciousness of lack and limitation. And the world wants to tell you that, because the world is always going to set up competition. It's always going to make somebody lower so that they can raise themselves. And when you're around people like that, get away from them. Just get away from people. Learn to stay with people of like mind. People that are thinking the way you're thinking. And then you can build your consciousness, and each of you can share those things. You know perfectly well now, when you're around somebody that's constantly complaining that there's not enough, that this is happening or that's happening, it's not pleasant anymore, is it? It's just not nice. Because you now have stretched your consciousness to where you realize that that's not the truth. But that's not the truth. And why do we want to keep repeating lies all the time? Why do we want to keep falling for those things? Earlier I said if you want a Christ consciousness to be born into you, you have to give up those lies. You have to give up those falsehoods. And you have to know that you're running the show. No one else is running the show. You see, no one can eat for you. No one can breathe for you. And no one can think for you. I can put all these things out there, but I cannot make you think. I don't have the power to make you think. You think for yourself. You take in all the knowledge, you take in all the different things, and then you make up your mind on those things. But you have to think. And you do that. You're the one that's running the show. You're the one at the switchboard. And if that Wayne Dyer's book, which was a wonderful book, was very enlightening, about, that must have been out in the 70s, was the first time that anyone ever said, oh, you know, you, it's your thinking that's doing that. It's your thinking that's doing that. Instead of, oh, that's the way it always is, or that's the way it has to be. And it doesn't have to be that way. We can change any thought that we have. And we have to be diligent in our own minds and stay alert and say, what button am I pushing now? What button am I pushing now? I had a client earlier today who said she woke up in a bad mood. I said, that's an impossibility to wake up in a bad mood. Why? You have to go to bed in a bad mood in order to wake up in a bad mood. I suggested to her, I said, before you go to bed, tell yourself that you're not going to wake up in a bad mood, that everything is going to be wonderful, and then during the night, allow that to happen. And then when you wake up in the morning, as soon as your eyes open, say to yourself, this is the day that I am making. I shall rejoice and be happy in it. We are the ones that are making our day. We are the ones that are making everything. We are the ones that are making our moods. We're the ones that are doing that. Nothing outside of us is doing it. It's our thinking that's doing it. It's very easy. It's taking that responsibility without any blame whatsoever. That I am doing this. That's where the power is. And think how powerful you are. Always say to yourself, I'm very powerful. I'm very powerful. Didn't we remember we with Marianne Williamson? We said, don't shrink. That we're not afraid what we are afraid of is how powerful we are. And that's what we shrink from all the time. We keep thinking we can't be that powerful. And I'm here to tell you, you can be that powerful. And it comes with thinking better thoughts about yourself. That you're lovable, that you're deserving, and that you're completely worthy. Last week I told you that's the foundation. If you don't have those three things going on in your life, get them. Do affirmations up one side and down the other till that's so embedded in you that no one could root it out of you. But without that first step, you cannot continue. You'll be able to go only so far, and then things will get so good that the other shoe will drop. But if you're really worthy, deserving, and completely lovable, and know that, the shoe will never drop. The whole idea in life, remember, is to move from your good to your greater good, from one glory to a greater glory. We're always moving forward. We're not moving backwards. Once your mind is stretched, once you learn something, it cannot be taken from you. You cannot go back to where you were. It's an impossibility. You heard it. It's out of the box. You've done it. There it is. And once you know that, you have to stay there. You see, you can leave this class and never come back. But I will tell you that what you heard here will keep bubbling up inside of you. And you'll hear it someplace else. And you go, oh, I remember that now. Because once you hear something, you cannot take it back. That's the whole idea. Once you stretch something, it doesn't go back. Your consciousness is not a rubber band. It's not going to spring back. Once it's stretched, it stays stretched. And what we do constantly is just keep stretching our consciousness to that point where we realize that the other shoe is never going to drop. See, we live in that fear all the time because we were taught, and the world teaches us, when things get too good, something's going to happen. And that's not true. What do we have out there? We have peace for so long. People say, well, if we had peace for too long, now we have to have a war. And we do that to ourselves on our scale. We say, now things are going too good. Now, why can't things go all the time good? Good is all there is, people. Good is the reality. Good is the truth. Lack and limitation is not reality. It's not reality. You make it reality by believing in it, but it's not the true reality. True reality is only good. Why is it only good? Because it's synonymous with God. And there's only God. There's nothing outside of God. God does not know lack or limitation. God only knows good. And God only sees you as good and me as good and lovable and worthy and deserving. And those are the qualities that you need. So make that your choice in this coming year. We're almost to a new year. Don't go through another year without giving yourself permission to believe that, to make that who you are. They're inside of you. Every one of you wants to know that. Every one of you wants that to happen. Allow it to happen. It's already in you. All you need to do is recognize it. Give yourself permission to have it. And you'll have it. But you're believing what your mind is telling you. And I am here to tell you, once and again, your mind is going to lie to you. Your mind loves to lie to you. And it's going to tell you it was your fault. You weren't paying attention. You weren't doing this. You weren't doing that. It's never going to say you had an accident and I love you. I think it's absolutely wonderful that you had that accident. You see, that's what your mind should say to you. Your mind should say, oh, look, I'm in an accident. It's absolutely wonderful. Look, I didn't get hurt. No one got hurt. The car got a little banged up. All that can be taken care of. Isn't this wonderful? I'm having a great day. Does your mind say that to you? No, it says, what the hell did you do wrong? You must have thought something. There must have been a bad thought in you. You're a bad girl. Yada-da-da-da-da-da. But you're not. It's just your mind doing that to you. It's just your mind. Now, her mind did that to her. But when she told the story, our minds did not do that, did they? We still loved her, didn't we? See, it's just your mind doing that. And the mind of God always loves you and always holds you in the highest of esteem. So just say, oh, I'm delighted I had this accident. And I'm never having another one in my life. You know, you're not accident prone, are you?
No.
Being accident prone is just a mental condition, you know. It's a belief system that you have. And people label themselves, I'm accident prone. It's a great one to label yourself with. Talking about who's running the show and all, we run our show by labeling ourselves all the time. We're the ones that are constantly telling us how good we are, how bad we are, what we're doing, and so forth. So if you know you're doing that, why don't you come up with good affirmations and a good conversation that's going on inside of you. So that your internal conversation, which will never stop, by the way, and if you think you're going to escape it when you leave this plane of action, forget that, because it's in consciousness and it's going to continue. You're always going to have a conversation going on inside of your head. Many people would like that conversation to stop. A conversation is not going to stop, but that conversation can get better. And it can get really good. But you have to make it good. You're the one who has to tell that little voice, shut up. And then plant in there what you want. That you're a great person, a good person, a healthy person, a marvelous person, a loving person, a sharing person, a caring person. Just keep coming up with it. I can rattle off 9 million things. How do I do that? Because I train myself to do that. I forgive myself almost instantly. I say almost because it takes me a little bit more than an instant now. But I can let go.
Use the word argue.
Very, very quickly. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to hold those things in my life. When you hold those things in your life, you're not living your life, and you're not living in the now. You're not living in the present. And you're certainly not going to be concentrating on acting and so forth while you're worrying about what caused this accident. So what's the most important thing in your life? Your career. So you focus on your career and don't focus on that accident. See? Are you loving yourself? Yes. It all has to do with loving yourself, people. You have to love yourself morning, noon, and night. Every chance you get, just just love yourself. I know it sounds so, what, trite, or it's not going to work. If I really love myself, it's really not going to work. How many people here actually constantly try to love themselves? Yes. And Rhoda, what did you tell me, since you're loving yourself? Your whole life has changed, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. You see things completely differently.
Oh, yeah. I don't need anyone to validate me. I never have to say I'm sorry. I can use poor judgment, and that's okay.
Yes.
You know, so it's just different.
Yes.
I remember something that she said, which I kept in my head repeating to myself, something that you said, Rhoda, that you just don't care what happens anymore, or
yeah.
something to that effect.
Yeah.
Just doesn't matter to me.
No. Since I can't control it anyway.
Every time I would get like a thought like that, I would think back to Rhoda.
Good. And that's what to do. Now that's training your mind to think differently. And that's all this thing is about, is training your mind to think differently. And it's your mind. You see. Think of your mind as a pet. Would you let your pet pee all over the house? But you let your mind do it, don't you? You let your mind do it all the time. Yes, think of your mind as a pet and say, listen, I'm not putting up with this.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, enough is enough.
Also, what Reva and I do, or even Jim and I at work, when it gets a little muddied in there, we talk to each other and sort of get back in focus with, you know, so if you know anybody that's in the, you know, that has your same thinking, anybody in here that can, you know, in a tough time when you can't really get your mind around it and something important is happening, is you reach out and you make that phone call to somebody that has it, will help you, because what they may say, one little thing, and it'll just get you back or discover what the, you know, the bigger picture is. And it always seems to work out. And then, like, she'll call me or something, or Jim will talk to me about something, and me helping him or something helps me. So it's like just having that same, being able to have that, you know, spiritual connection with the same people that want the same things as you.
And for you.
And for you, yeah. It's being around that same energy, the people that have that same energy as you do.
Yeah. You have to stay around that. Why didn't you call? Why did you say? You know what I say to people? Why would you suffer for more than 3 minutes when there's help out there?
Right.
You know, that's idiotic. That's absolutely idiotic to suffer for more than 3 minutes. As soon as you can't figure something out and you start to suffer, call somebody, but call the right person. But call somebody. People sit and, oh, yeah. How dumb. And then, of course, Christians say, but look, Jesus suffered. Yes, but not for 30 years. He wasn't on the cross more than 26 minutes.
I was having a conversation last week with somebody who, they just started going negative, and I just thought, whoa, stop right there. And I argued and argued and argued with them and won. And we both felt so much better, you know, because my state was brought down by this person. So I knew that if I, like, put the phone down, I was going to be feeling not my best. So I had to argue and win it for both of us. And it felt really good.
Does anyone hear anything there?
Argue.
What else did you hear?
Win.
That's complete race mind, young man.
Isn't it what you say, that you have to argue with your mind like the...
Like an attorney in
like
front
an attorney.
Of me. I said your mind, I didn't say other people.
I argue with someone else's mind.
Didn't say anybody else. When you get into those type of things with somebody else, it's all right. I just back away from them, let them... I'm not here to change anybody. I just sit here and tell you all this stuff, and I tell you, you may take this stuff and you may change yourself. That's your job, to change yourself. It's his job to change himself. And you immediately love, bless, and release that person. But if you get into an argument with them, now you're getting into competition, and you've just reduced yourself right back to race mind. But the biggest race mind thing that you did is you said very gleefully, I won. That's complete ego.
They wanted to let me help them. It wasn't.
If they ask for help and support, you don't win. There's no such thing as winning and losing. There's no such thing as competition. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just pointing these things out. I'm
using the same terminology that we've used many times.
Oh, no, you didn't.
About argue like a courtroom lawyer and
yes.
Win.
Right.
So I'm using the word argue and I'm using the word win. And so for some reason, you know.
Yes. But you do that in your own self.
Yeah.
But you don't get gleeful that you won over the other person.
I didn't win over the other person. That's not where I was coming from.
Okay. All right. It did.
Did you mean to say that you were standing for yourself and your beliefs and you helped another person transform?
This other person knew where they were going, and it was like they were going down a black tunnel, down a dark tunnel.
Why did you jump in after them?
Hmm?
Why did you jump in after them?
I didn't jump in after them. They were pulling me with them, and I thought, you know what, we're going to go the other way.
What's the difference? Now, I understand what you say, because I do the same thing. But Dallas is just trying to point out a few things in your language which would, if you're walking on the razor's edge, you can fall.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to jump in after somebody. It's like you don't want to go swimming. There's a drowning man out there. You don't want to go out there and rescue him unless you know what you're doing. You throw him the lifeguard, blood jacket, and you take a step back. Otherwise, they will grab around you and pull you down.
Well, I wasn't. I was being pulled down, and I just pushed them up.
You stayed up, and let them come at you.
It's all we're talking.
But that's what you're saying. You understand?
You know, I know where I'm coming from. Maybe
yeah.
I'm not explaining it, so everyone's picking on
my
words.
I hear what you're saying. So I'm offering to you. This is what I hear you say. Even though it doesn't sound like it into the room.
We just hear it differently.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're never picking on anyone in this class. We're here to support everyone in this class. But I am always going to pick on words, because words structure thought. And you have to have the correct word. If you don't use the correct word, it's going to hurt your thinking and your mind. And that's what happens with most of us. We use the incorrect word. You use the word worry. I never use the word worry. I use the word concern. You can say concern all day long and no physical thing happens in your body. If you use the word worry, you immediately feel something in your body because worry means to worry. Concern, I'm concerned about that, does nothing physically to you and no physical damage. So you always have to be correcting your vocabulary because words structure thought. And that's, if you're not getting also, when you're doing a treatment, choose your words correctly. If you don't choose your words correctly, you're not going to get the treatment to work the way you want it to work. It all has to do with words and your thoughts.
So why is it that the words, when they apply to your mind, are okay, but when they apply to someone else's mind, they're not okay? I don't get that.
No, I didn't say that.
I thought you did. You said you can use the word argue and win when you're applying it to your own mind.
To your mind?
Yes.
Inside, yes.
Yes, but you can't apply it to you know, when you're having a conversation regarding somebody else's.
No.
I don't understand the distinction.
Because nothing ever goes outside of yourself. You're always arguing with your own self.
But it's the same word.
But isn't it that the ego is not in competition?
Not in competition.
I'm constantly in competition with myself.
Oh, my.
But it becomes race mind when they're speaking.
Well, why aren't you trying to be creative? Anyway, word structure thought. Let's come back, and I'll talk to you later if you have trouble.
Okay.
But we're never picking on people here. We're trying to make things clear so that people grow. That's the whole idea of this class, is for people to grow. And people have grown, so we know that this works. So let's go back to our thing. Who's running the show? Who is controlling your mind? You're controlling your mind. And your thoughts that you think are controlling your mind. So who's doing that thinking? You are. Don't take in other people's thoughts. Don't take in other people's things. That's information. You go through all that information and then make it your own. Figure out what's going on there. But be at your own switchboard of your mind. Don't let other people press the button for you. Okay? And during this season, take the opportunity to allow a consciousness, a higher consciousness, or a Christ consciousness, whatever you want to call it, to be born in.